got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Here we are at the Curra Pub in our fifth week of our police pub tour. You're listening to Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and personal injury attorney, the Honorable Jim McGing. So glad to have all of you joining us. One of the things we've been doing since we started this show over a year and a half ago was a strict focus on Irish first responders, cops, firefighters, and paramedics, because we feel that they epitomize the modern-day equivalent of our mythological Irish warriors, and they also have a lot of great stories to tell, especially these days in the midst of all this craziness. We want to make sure we salute and honor our police. So this is the fifth week of our cops police tour, and we're very honored to be here at the Curra Pub, thanks to Sean Ginelli and Paul Leongas for having us. We're hitting every different pub every week, just about. And tonight we have quite a show. We're very honored to have our sponsor and our old friend, Jim McGing, on the show. And with him is the Honorable Pat O'Brien. And we'll hear more from Pat in just a second. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Thanks for having us. And you brought a friend with you tonight.
I did.
Who has a story to tell.
He sure does.
Tell me a bit about Pat O'Brien.
I will. Pat was born and raised in Chicago. He grew up on the West Side and attended St. Ignatius High School and the University of Notre Dame and DePaul Law School. Judge O'Brien worked twice in the state's attorney's office and worked his way up to be the felony trial supervisor, the bureau chief of the entire criminal division, and the chief deputy of the entire state's attorney's office, supervising over 700 Cook County assistant state's attorneys. But he also served in the Illinois Attorney General's office, and one of his roles was to help state's attorneys throughout the entire state of Illinois. And he would travel throughout Illinois, helping them prosecute very complex criminal cases, and he handled some of the biggest criminal cases in the state of Illinois. While Pat was a judge, I was fortunate enough to serve with him as a judge. It was a common occurrence for other judges in Cook County to seek him out for his thoughts, for his impressions, and his advice in a myriad of complex cases. I can tell you personally that Pat is known as a person of integrity. He was a highly respected judge, a highly respected prosecutor, a highly respected attorney in private practice. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to your listening audience, Judge Pat O'Brien, our next Cook County State's Attorney.
Yeah!
Hey. Well, Jim, thank you very much for that overdone introduction. And Mike, it's a pleasure to be here with you. And I couldn't be happier and happier to have the audience that always follows you so that I could make my pitch to them as to why they should vote for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we've been working with the police and the firefighters and paramedics since we started this show. But since we've done the police almost exclusively this summer, they love you. You have a lot of fans on the Chicago Police Force and beyond, Cook County Sheriff's Police, all over the place, because they see there's a big, big, big problem and they need a guy like you. So I want you to know that they're all on your side, just to start off.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad that they have such large families so that all those votes will come my way.
Yeah. Now, what parish did you grow up in?
I grew up in Resurrection Parish on the West Side.
The old neighborhood. Yeah.
Old neighborhood, huge church of 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And actually, there were 2,000 people there every Sunday.
Yeah. Remember Jerry McPartland, an old friend of mine?
I remember Jerry McPartland. His son was in grade school with me.
No, this is, she's a he. Probably her husband, Bob McPartland.
Bobby.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a state legislator, I think. But just a lot of people. Bob Ryan's from Resurrection, you know, from the Plumbers Union. A ton of people from that parish.
Yes. Johnny Latner.
Yes,
his cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
The Brennans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you went from there to Ignatius. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, by way of L.
Yeah, well, you know the city. Well, you got a lot of guts getting in this race because it's going to be tough, and you know that. Tell us why Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, it started back on in March on the 24th of last year.
Yeah.
I was sitting having coffee with another ex-assistant state's attorney, Kenny Malatesta,
okay.
who we lost just a short time ago to disease. And he told me that he just came on his phone that the Smollett case had been dropped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I said, that's impossible. I went on my phone and found out that it wasn't impossible.
Yeah.
That, in fact, the state's attorney who had no integrity and a yeah. lack of judgment and character could do exactly that.
Yeah.
And that's when I started thinking that too much had happened, and if I was going to stay in this county and continue to live here for 4 years, I just couldn't let her get a second term without a fight.
Good for you. Yeah. You know, wasn't there recently an editorial about that case in the Tribune? And I knew you had an answer to that. What the heck has taken Dan Webb so long? That's what I'd like to know.
Well,
he's appointed as a special prosecutor.
Dan Webb is handling the investigation. And how many times do you have a sitting state's attorney that's being investigated by a special assistant state's attorney?
Yeah.
It's a rather unusual situation. And he's taking his time because there's probably a lot there. And anytime you deal with a number of, I guess, persons who are part of this, and that goes from the assistant who actually handled the case to the supervisor who would have told the assistant what to do, to the state's attorney herself who told the supervisors what to do, and the attorneys who represented Smollett, who had a special relationship with the state's attorney,
yeah.
and who worked out a one-of-a-kind deal that no one will ever get again, and tried to do it in secret.
And he had some connection to the Barack Obama's director of protocol, Tina, whatever her name
is. Tina Chin, who was chief of staff for Michelle Obama.
She made the phone call.
She made the phone call.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we'll, unless she or Kim Fox talks, I don't know we'll ever know the full content of that phone call.
Yeah. Huh.
But we can suspect.
Oh, boy, can we. I remember when that happened. Billy and I did our show at Lizzie McNeil's for years, and it happened right around the corner from Lizzie McNeil's when I read the story. I said, no way did that happen. So you got a tough road ahead of you. I know you have a lot of things on your website. What's the website?
The website is obrienforcook.com.
Okay.
And I've got to put a plug in. If you have any money,
yeah.
and since you can't go anywhere to spend it,
yeah.
what better way to spend it than to donate it to me so I can get commercials on TV and we can replace this failed state's attorney with someone who actually will enforce the law?
Absolutely, because it's going to be really scary if she gets real. It's scary now.
Yes.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah, just to look at her, what she has not done so far.
Yeah.
Back in 2019, there were over 130 arrestees that the police asked her to charge with murder charges, and her office declined. So in addition to all the persons who we don't know about,
yeah.
who haven't been identified, there are 130 persons who were arrested and the police thought had committed murders that she decided to wave goodbye to, and they
God.
Never got charged.
Wow.
You know, it's not surprising each weekend since the end of May, we've seen these incredible numbers.
The violence and everything. Of killing.
Of yeah. shootings and murders, and,
yeah.
And it's children. It's, you know, it's yeah. a 20-month-old baby. It's a 3-year-old. It's a 7-year-old. It's a 10-year-old. It's teenagers. It's adults. And all these victims have mothers and fathers and families and friends, and there isn't anyone who in the papers or media who raises the point that you cannot be a state's attorney and ignore these victims.
No, there's not. The media is in the tank with this.
You can't.
It's terrible.
Here's the yeah. state's attorney makes a statement after the rioting where she aligns herself with the looters and says it's a shame they had to walk over broken glass to get to items they couldn't afford. And I thought to myself, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, the piece that he forgot was Thou Shalt Not Steal, asterisk, except if you're poor and feel you should.
Yeah. Now, she had a thing, I think it was, nobody gets charged for a felony unless it's over $1,000 of a theft or shoplifting or something like that. And just nutty stuff like that.
She's nullified. Yeah, obviously, as a voter, you elect legislators, state, whether it's reps or Senate. You elect a governor. Maybe you didn't vote for him.
No,
maybe you voted for his toilets. But
yeah,
anyway,
I did not vote for him.
You elect these people. They pass laws, and then she nullifies the laws.
Yeah.
Retail theft can be charged as a felony when over $300 is taken.
Right.
And she has determined on her own that it should be three times that. So unless it's $1,000 that you're taking out the door, she's not going to charge you with a felony.
Right. So
the lawbreakers...
They know this now.
It's their business to know it.
Yeah.
They get to do things, and the people that suffer and have to pay for it are the people who are the store owners, the shoppers who that cost will be passed on to. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
She's concentrating, she says, on violence. And yet, in the three full years where she's been state's attorney, she's lost more gun cases than she's won. Including last year, she lost over 100 more gun cases than she won. It's a situation where if you're a criminal, why would you ever go anywhere else but to Cook County?
And does this all stem from some kind of weird philosophy or something?
I'm gonna mention that only because it's not too far off point. We have a virus that's presently causing us to stay at home,
yes,
to have all kinds of restrictions. We can't shake hands with anybody anymore. You can't hug your wife. You're not hugging your wife anymore, right?
So anyway, I never was to begin with.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that for her sake.
Tell my two kids that
not.
One. Yeah.
But in any case, we now have another virus, and it's all these crimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's this inability to stem the violence, and if you fail to prosecute, you're only encouraging people to commit more crime.
Sure, yeah.
And if you don't set a bond that keeps some of these people in jail who are violent, you're letting them out, and they're on electronic monitoring.
Now, yeah. And they don't even have enough of those, I heard.
Well, they didn't have enough when they put 1,000 more people on it,
yeah,
you know, because of the March coronavirus. So you've got 3,000 people at any time of day or night who are on bracelets, this electronic monitoring, who have the privileges to go out of their home, saying if they're going to go to school, get a job, go to work, go on medical. So they essentially, and they're not monitored when they do these things.
Yeah.
Because the only point where they're monitored is the residence. So they can be out in about 8 hours, 10 hours or more. It counts as custody time.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to guess that they're not picking up garbage for $10 an hour,
no,
or they're not, you know, going to downtown.
They're up to no good. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, the police superintendent Brown, who's trying to do a good job, he's saying, "What are these open air drug markets?" Well, the reason they're open air drug markets is because the state's attorney, since mid March, has dismissed over 600 drug cases. The first time a defendant sets foot in court. She's of the belief that somehow, if you can
first one's a gimme.
You can commit a crime, and because you might bring COVID into the jail, it's better that you commit that crime, go out, potentially commit 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, because at least it'll keep the COVID from getting spread. And if people are committing crimes and they do it a second time, knowing that they might be put in jail, put them in jail.
Yeah. You know, Jim worked at the jail for years, and he had 10,000 residents then. Now they're down to like 4,000. And I would say that's because of Kim Fox, right? Is the sheriff have something to do with Tom Dart?
Well, you know, Tom was looking for nonviolent people to be not held in the jail, but it's gone way beyond that now to a number of violent people. Who are also being released.
Free. Yeah, so. I saw the police commissioner. I think he had no idea what he was getting himself into when he took this job. Because he was like, there used to be 10,000 people in the jail. Now there's only 4,000. What's going on? It was like, now you know.
Yeah. He pointed it out that he's not getting help.
Yeah.
And at every stage of the process, from where a person's arrested, and if it's a successful process, to where there are convictions, he's basically being short-circuited, as is everybody in this county.
Sure.
They're not charging people.
Yeah.
When they charge them, they're releasing them on bond. They're staying out longer, because why would you go to trial if you can stay out, be in your house, be out and about, rather than face a jury or judge and get found guilty and potentially get put inside? And it is basically, we've made the system a joke.
And now they have all this crazy talk about defunding the police. It's like, what the heck's going on? I feel like I'm in a bad movie. It's crazy.
It does seem like it.
Yeah.
But I'd be for it if the first thing they defunded was the security patrol for Preckwinkle.
If
they took away her security, I bet you that the defunding police would go out the window as a statement.
Well, she's the one who gave us Kim Fox, right? Wasn't Preckwinkle
bought
her pal?
And paid for.
Yeah, yeah.
And how crazy is that, to have a state's attorney who another politician installs in office by giving her over $350,000 in donations, by directing her own donors to donate to Kim Fox?
Yeah.
Why? What is it for a politician who is still active to basically be so, I guess, so enthralled and so enamored with Kim Fox? It just doesn't make sense to me. What's going on?
Now, you've been a Democrat most of your life, right? Now, I think you had to run as a Republican, basically, right?
Yeah, I try to solve this out. When I became a state's attorney, I was hired by Bernie Kerry.
Oh, sure.
A Republican.
Yeah.
Never asked anybody, what are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Worked for Bernie Kerry, worked initially for Rich Daley, left to go to the AG's office, worked for Ty Fainer, a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Worked for Neil Hardigan, a Democrat, came back under Daley, promoted by Daley, worked for Partee when Daley ran.
Cecil
Partee, the first African-American state attorney.
Yeah.
And he was a good man.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
And after working for him, worked for Jack O'Malley and promoted by him, another Republican.
Yeah.
It's not an office that's really Democrat and Republican. You know, it's not a situation where when a crime is committed, you know, the first thing a police officer asks the victim is, well, you're Democrat or Republican?
Exactly.
And when somebody's going to take your cell phone or hit you over the head for your wallet,
Or kill you,
they don't ask how you voted.
No.
They just do it.
Yeah.
And this is a situation where the Cook County Democrats under Preckwinkle and the state Democrats under the present governor, they don't believe in personal responsibility. I couldn't run as a Democrat for state's attorney, because the whole point of being the prosecutor is the belief in personal responsibility. How can you penalize anybody if they can't be responsible for what they did in order for you to penalize them?
Now, let's get you some money. One of the things I was going to see. Now, I think, and there's no GOP here in Illinois, you got to reach out to President Trump, because he knows about the crime. He's talking about the crime in Chicago constantly. Make an appeal, somebody, to him, and get you some money.
Well, I'd like this, because of Smollett and because of the state's attorney, the campaign in this race has a higher profile.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that national Republicans and people of common sense, as independents or Democrats, will want to see the right result, which I'm going to say humbly, I think would be me.
Absolutely.
And for that, I would welcome their money. And let me say this. If anybody were to criticize me for taking Republican money, I would just look at Kim Fox.
Yeah.
And the money she took from people that are under investigation or charged.
Crooks.
She would have to have another campaign site to pay those people back. And there's money that she's taken from people who are being looked at that she hasn't returned. It's one thing. She said she's not going to take money from the police. And by the way, I know officers don't have a lot.
Yeah.
But I'll welcome all their money. And the fact is, I'd rather have a police officer donated to me than somebody who's under federal indictment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you've got, 3 months left?
I think it's four.
4 months. Okay. And it doesn't help with this COVID thing. And the media doesn't help either.
No.
They're out of their minds. It's tough.
It is difficult.
Anything we can do.
Well, I appreciate that. But there's a landmine that's still out there, and that's the Smollett investigation with Dan Webb. And at some point in time, he's shown a willingness to reindict Smollett.
Yeah.
And I think Dan Webb is an honorable man.
What was the gist of this editorial? Because I didn't read it. But it made excuses for him dragging his feet or what?
They were asking Dan Webb to move on with the investigation because there are some answers that need to be given to the voting public.
Yeah.
But
to
when
the
they,
electorate. Yeah.
That editorial, quite frankly, summarized a lot of the answers. I mean, they indicated she meaning Fox, took a call from the chief of staff, a political operative.
Yeah.
She did a favor trying to stop an investigation. When it turned out that the investigation had to go forward, she gave a phony statement that she was basically
recusing
not going to handle the case.
Yeah.
She was recusing herself.
Yeah.
But she didn't know what the law was, so she kept her first assistant and the office on the case. She gets in a situation where I think there's a secret deal worked out before the case comes up, and they advance the case to a date where nobody's supposed to know about it. On the 24th of March, I think it was, the media learned because Smollett had not just Chicago attorneys, he had Los Angeles attorneys.
Sure.
And the one thing the Los Angeles attorneys love more than money, publicity.
Oh, yeah.
So they spilled it to the press, this whole attempt to keep it secret so that, you know, weeks later somebody say, what happened to Smollett? And, you know, somebody say, oh, the case went away.
Oh.
So instead of that, the press is there. Smollett gets a one-of-a-kind disposition. It's not a deferred prosecution, which requires an admission of guilt, requires a signature on a piece of paper and at least 12 months where there's some supervision of his activity. He's already done 16 hours telling people how to become a small-time actor before he even gets to
court. I know all about that.
Well, there you go.
And I don't need lessons from Justice Smollett either.
Well, then you have a one-time deferred prosecution in the bag. You got that to look forward to. And then, of course, once it happens and the press hits the fan, she gives excuses that Webb says aren't real. You know, nobody else got this kind of disposition, and the evidence didn't get weaker from the time of a 16-count indictment.
And they tried to get this by a judge, and the judge said, wait a minute, that's not going to fly. What's the morale like at the state's attorney's office? It's got to be terrible.
Well, I think it is. I think Kim Fox has done something no other prosecutor could have done. She's united the public, the police, and her own assistants against her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yep. And that's how many attorneys are there? Over 100,
You know, the 2020 budget called for 742 assistant positions, but I think there are some more hidden as administrative assistants. There are people in high-ranking positions who not only have an executive assistant, their executive assistant has an executive assistant.
Yeah.
So I have no idea but that's the job I want. If I can't be state's attorney, I want to be executive assistant to an executive assistant.
Jim, were you in the state's attorney's
I
office?
I was.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. This is crazy. The whole thing is crazy. And if it was a just world, you know, it would not be a problem. But we know it's not. So what's the plan? Are you going to debate her? Are you going to get debates? Are they just stonewalling you on stuff like that, or what?
Well, I'm going to say that we tried some media things, press conferences, letters to the editor after the web editorial, and it's been very difficult to break through.
Yeah.
I think there will be debates, but the bottom line is the debate audience is rather, it's not big enough.
Right.
There were 2 million.
Oh, you mean for TV?
Yes,
yeah,
there were 2 million people that voted in the general election in 2016.
Yeah.
With COVID, maybe it's less. Maybe it's 1.75 or 1.5 million. But for a Republican like myself to win, you need 50% plus one. And it may be unfortunate, but I think it's a fact. that if you can find 751,000 Republicans in this county, I would give you some prize. I think there's probably 200,000 to 300,000. I need independents. I need crossovers.
But the thing is, it's not a primary, though. You don't have to take a ballot.
I need them from the primary who voted as Democrats or independents.
Because you can just vote for whoever you want in the election.
Yes, exactly. All you have to do is go in there, make your choices at the top of the ticket, work your way down. I think it's a fifth or sixth race.
Okay.
And hopefully look at Pat O'Brien versus Kim Fox. And
there's a lot of Irish people in Cook County.
Well,
you know that?
Yeah, you know, I wish my mom and dad were alive because I lost those two votes. I'm pretty sure they would have voted for me, but
yeah, I'm sure they
unfortunately
would.
they passed.
Well, there's a lot of them listening to this show. There's a lot here tonight, right? Pat O'Brien, how about it? Vote for him. you have a staff and everything? I mean,
yeah, I've got political
who's your campaign
people,
manager?
She's going to want a request, but I'm going to have to charge her for this. Kim Novy,
Novy,
a former assistant state's attorney.
Okay.
My political people, an organization called Strive, they did a great job in the primary. I won 73% of the Republican votes, city and county combined. So we're hoping to, I don't know that we'll get 73% of the general, but if we
all
get
all you want 50, is 51%.
51.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
But it's enough.
Well, you're fighting the good fight, and I believe in what you're doing. And
thank you.
I think everybody in the Irish American community wants to see change. They just want to see overall change in Cook County, period, and
the
city and everything.
The West Side and South Side, Hispanic communities, if they, and I know people look beyond their tribe and their skin color.
Yeah.
And this is not a good situation for anyone. Where you see all these kids, and they're not just the, like I said, the fathers and mothers' children, they're the children of this county, of this community, and you just can't stand by and watch them, you know, just die. And here she is, 130 defendants, arrestees presented for murder charges last year, and she declines to charge, and we'll never know how many of those persons were part of this recent violence.
We got to get that story out there.
And if you murder once, it's like potato chips? You can't just murder one?
What's the deal with John Cass? Have you talked to him?
John Cass was a co-host on a radio show he was on last week. And I'm hoping, and John, if you're listening, with Dan Proft.
Okay.
And John had said he was going to give me a call this week, and there'd be nothing I like better.
How about it, John?
Than to get him to talk to me and hopefully write a column and...
A couple of columns.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a crusader. He's got to get by. And he's a big audience.
He's got a great audience.
Unfortunately, and Dan Proft is good, too.
Yes.
I think going to the Irish community should help. Go after them. Unfortunately, our Irish radio audience is dwindling because they've cut back. Sean Ginelli, if you could get on his show, he works here, but he had a show for years. It was just terrific. Had a huge audience. We'll talk to him about it later tonight. But we wish you the best.
Well, Mike,
come back on.
Thank you.
You know, as we get in closer and
thank you.
See where we're at.
And I've got to give a plug to Jim. If somebody in your family steps out in front of a car, I would suggest that you call
Jim
McGinn.
If you fall down on the way out of here.
Because he is just the best, and you don't have to go call 7 two-digit numbers.
No.
Just look up Jim.
Especially
he's out
in
here.
This neighborhood. He's right
absolutely.
Down the street here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
100 yards away.
And don't get an attorney. Get a judge.
That's
get
right.
a, get a form, an ex-honorable judge.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, when you're a judge, do you hang on to the name honorable for the rest of your life?
You know, they tell
as
me I
should.
Do, but yeah, I've been, you know, Pat O'Brien. And I got to tell you, when I first, people called me Pat O'Brien. I was in grade school. You know, it wasn't Pat.
Yeah.
My mother would call
great
me
actor, then.
Patrick
yeah.
William when okay. she yelled at me and I was across the street. Patrick William, come home.
Yeah.
But in grade school, seventh grade, I'm sitting, and the little girl in front of me, and I was the little boy in back of her, was also, she was Patricia O'Brien. She was Pat O'Brien. I hated the name. I just hated it. Little did I know that come time for elections, I'd be saying, It's Pat O'Brien.
It's a great name. It's a likely
it's,
name.
It's a great name. Yeah. My grandfather's name.
Now, where was your grandfather? What are your Irish roots?
My grandmother was Fives, and her husband was Moran.
Okay.
My father's mother and father, they're a little bit of a mystery to me.
Oh,
her
really?
Mother and father met in a school for the deaf and mute in Wisconsin.
Holy cow.
So my grandfather, Pat O'Brien, never heard his name.
No kidding. Wow. And do you know where he was from, in Ireland or anything? Or
no. He died before I was born, and I met my grandmother, but my father spoke to her in sign language.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, at 5 or 6 years old, I was barely speaking English.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's a great story. All right, well, come back and tell us how it's going.
I shall.
About another month or so, okay? We wish you the best of luck.
And I appreciate it, and I thank you and Jim, and I thank your audience.
Sure. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Pat O'Brien for Cook County State's Attorney. Yeah! We're going to take a little break here on the Hibernian Radio Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal. If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Oh, the green and red mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, to stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coastal waters, I can see Kilpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer the pilgrims climb the reek, where St. Patrick in its solitude looked down across Clubeath, and with the ringing of his bell called the faithful there to pray. We'll be right back.
I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore. Stay
on Hibernian Radio. What a great night tonight here at the Clattering, not the Clattering, the Clatter, the Curra. We're at the Curra, and our thanks to Paul Leongas and Sean Ginelli for hosting us. Big thanks to Pat O'Brien for coming by and Jim McGink for bringing him by. And you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window at Ken's or Rong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, and see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, holy who died?" Okay. there it is. There's my Jimmy Goff music. Okay, Catherine T. K. Murphy, age 85, beloved wife of the late Timothy Murphy, and the loving mother of Mary, Timothy J. the Third, Kathleen, Robert, Patrick. Aunt Kay was dearly loved by many nieces and nephews, an alumna of St. Sabina Grammar School and Visitation High School, former Little Company of Mary Hospital employee, Eucharistic minister, and pastoral care associate at St. Catherine of Alexandria Parish. God rest her soul. Kay Murphy. And Coleman Flaherty of Chicago and Venice, Florida. Loving father of Michael, Colm, Maria, and Teresa. Proud 50-year member of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, who are also happen to be sponsors of this show. Forever a loving son of County Galway, Ireland. In lieu of flowers, a memorial will may be made to the Irish American Heritage Center. God rest his soul, Coleman Flaherty. Good man. Jeremiah Jerry McCarthy, 83, a longtime resident of Chicago and recently LaGrange. He was 83, loving husband of 47 years to Bernadette, adoring father to Kathleen. He was the cherished son of the late Daniel and Mary McCarthy, a retired firefighter of the Chicago Fire Department. He's a member of the Chicago Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange and a proud U.S. Army veteran, frequent traveler to the sandy beaches of his beloved Naples, Florida, star basketball player for the De La Salle Institute Meteors and the Chicago Fire Department team, as well as an avid fan of Chicago sports and Notre Dame football. Go Irish! Jerry McCarthy, 83, God rest his soul. And finally, Maureen Ann Fitzgerald, 93. Nee Ryan, a native of Limerick City, Ireland, formerly Chicago and late of Orland Park. Wife of the late Nick, devoted mother of Jack, Teresa, Nick, Jimmy, and Anne Marie. She was the sister of Jack, Mick, Frank, Joe, and Gerard. She came to the States in 1947. She's married at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston. Soon after that, she and Nick moved to the south side of Chicago, where they raised their family in an atmosphere of Irish culture and wit. God rest her soul, Maureen Ann Fitzgerald. And our thanks to our pal, our Obit Scout, PJ O'D, and his lovely wife, Mary O'D, for keeping us supplied with the dead people every week. Billy, what a great night to be here at the Cura. Had a great audience here tonight. People are having fun. It almost feels like there's no COVID, but of course there is. And it's a pain in the neck. But I do want to remind everybody that this show is dedicated to cops and firefighters and paramedics. And next week we'll be back at the Cork and Kerry on Western Avenue. And we're finishing out July there. And then we're headed over to the Emerald Isle here on Northwest Highway in Edison Park for August 5th and 12th. And if you're interested in hearing more about the show, please get in touch, MikeHoolahan7@gmail.com. And yes, I will have another beer. All right, so we're going to take a break here for some music. We're going to listen to some Saw Doctors. And then we'll be back with more frivolity and some Hoolie Town on Hibernian Radio.
To just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their drive and verve, for those who feel they've been mistreated, discriminated, robbed or cheated, to claim one victory is fine. To injustice
going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney,
Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Ring-a-ring, a rosy, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. Raising songs and stories, heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories that once were Dublin town. The halls and houses haunting children rhymes were once in Dublin City in the rare old time. Ring a ring a rosy as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. For my name's Sean Dempsey, Dublin as can be, born hard and laid in Pimlico, in a house that sees the bee. By trade I was a cooper, lost and on the sea, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. Ring a ring a rosy, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. Courted Peggy Dignan, pretty as you please, a rare old child to marry with rebel liberties. I lost her to a student chap, skin as black as coal, and he took her off the Birmingham, he took away my soul. Ring a ring a rosy, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. For the years they've made me bitter, the gargle dims my brain, but Dublin keeps on changing and nothing seems the same. The Pillar and the Met have gone, the Royal Long pulled down, as grey unyielding concrete the city, my town. Ring a ring a rosy, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep, side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep, all deep, the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Son? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as...
Hoolytown. Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown. Things are a little bit different here in Hoolytown, folks. Just want to let everybody know that even though I'm on the north side, Hoolytown is on the south side. So we're paying a little transcendental visit to Hoolytown. Now, here in Hoolytown, because things are different, Billy, could you please give me a hand with this door? Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Let's see if we get the crowd involved in this. This is a routine called Who Cares? So when I raise my hand, you guys say, who cares? Ready? Tiffany Haddish slams critics for questioning her mental health after buzz cut.
Who cares?
That's it. Fandy Newton admits she was so scared of co-star Tom Cruise, she felt terror and insecurity on the set. Who cares? Next, Halle Berry drops out of the running to play transgender man, apologizes for misgendering character.
Who cares?
Yeah! Christina Ricci is asking for full custody of her son in divorce from James Heerdegen.
Who cares?
Justin Bieber, Jessica Biel, and more stars share what they eat for breakfast.
Who cares?
Hillary Duff calls out embarrassing people not wearing masks on the 4th of July.
Who cares?
And finally, is Mayor Lori Lightfoot moving to Sauganish?
Who cares?
Yeah, close it up! Oh, wait, Billy, let me reach up at the top and grab that latch at the top. I gotta get it. I got it. Whew, thanks. Great to be here on the Northwest Side at the Curra Pub. Now, when we get to Who Cares, we usually do a couple of jokes. When I went to get my driver's license, and you know it's nuts there because of the COVID thing, our local motor vehicle bureau was packed. The line inched along for almost an hour, and everybody's sweating, and it's terrible. And the man ahead of me finally got his license. He inspected his photo for a moment and commented to the clerk, "Hey, I was standing on the line so long, I ended up looking pretty grouchy in this picture." The clerk, an employee of Jesse White, looked at his picture closely. "It's okay," he reassured the man. "That's how you're going to look when the cops pull you over anyway." Okay. Rimshot. A woman walked into an antique store that was down the street from her home. As she wandered around the store, the clerk asked her what she was interested in. She said she was interested in buying a mirror. He showed her a couple of mirrors, then told her he had a special magic mirror in the back. "Yeah, sure." She laughed and said, "Yeah, right." He showed her the mirror and told her all you have to do is say, "Mirror, mirror, on the door," then ask for anything. She gave it a try. "Mirror, mirror, on the door, make my breasts a 44. Kaboom! She had huge breasts. She ran down the street to her house to show her husband. She told him of the magic mirror on the corner. He raced out the door, headed to the antique shop. As he arrived, he told the clerk he wanted to try the magic mirror. The clerk took him out back where the mirror was and told him what to say. The man looked at the mirror and said, "Mirror, mirror, on the floor, on the door, make my manhood touch the floor." Kaboom, his legs fell off. One more. Okay. An Irishman was shipwrecked and finally washed ashore on a small island. As he regained consciousness on the beach, he sees a beautiful, unclad nymphette standing over him. She asks, "Would you like some food?" The Irishman croaks, "Oh, lassie, I haven't had a bite in a week, no, and I'm very hungry." She disappears into the woods and quickly comes back with a heaping help of potatoes and corned beef and cabbage. When he choked it down, she asks, "Would you like something to drink?" "Oh, would I? Those spuds made me very hungry, and I would very much like a drink." She goes off into the woods again and returns with a bottle of Paddy's Irish whiskey. The Irish fellers begin to think that he's in heaven when the almost naked nymphet leans closer and says, "Would you like to play around?" "Oh, don't tell me you got a golf course here, too!" Close it up. Okay, how we doing? Okay, we got 1 minute. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight, especially the guys here at the Curra. Check out page 9 of the Irish American News. They got a great article on our police pub tour. Jim McGing has an ad on page 4 in this month's Irish American News. Check that out. Hey, we're going to be at the Cork and Kerry on Western Avenue the next 3 weeks. But then, August 5th and 12th, we'll be at the Emerald Isle. Isn't that in the neighborhood? Yes, right down Northwest Highway. So join us there. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you all. And remember to honor our police, firefighters, and paramedics. They are our Irish first responders and the modern-day equivalent to our Irish mythological warriors. So thanks, and God bless you all, and we'll see you later. Bye.